The sun also rises, and as it goes down, it speeds to the place of its rising renown. The wind circles southward, it swirls to the north, returning by circles to ever go forth. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 is where that comes from, and that was from the Ward Green translation of 2004. And that's our daily proverb for today, little children. Today's study in the Trojan War article from 2015 is from paragraph 9 of chapter 12. The details of the chronology of the BG, which we know stands for Blessed Genealogy, and it also stands for Big. It was an acronym that was chosen not particularly much for any one particular aspect, but it had a lot of good attributes, such as all the words that can be formed with the letters BG with any vowel, big, beg, bag, bug, bog. All of those words are formed with that acronym BG. And the big acronym was good because, and not only was it good because we saw how big the genealogy was and is still today in terms of its impact, the impact that it has on people's lives, you know, ostensibly and first and foremost, my own life, the impact it had on my life convinced me that it must be something that could benefit others. But as they say, the proof is in the pudding, so we don't really know until we know, you know, how many people can be helped by studying and learning this chronology. And we compared it to Shaw's chronology in chapter 9, as well as in chapter 8, as we saw in the graph yesterday. And the details that we showed in chapter 9 were for dynasties 18 to 21. And one includes proof of a very specific lunar alignment, which was from paragraph 12 of chapter 9. The lunar alignment, although there was also a lunar alignment for Shawshank, of course, mentioned in the chapter from his year 5. But there was a lunar alignment in the last paragraph of chapter 9 that was quite significant, because it was so unlikely that it could have occurred by chance. Like I said in the paragraph, it was like a 1 in 6 probability of having occurred by chance alone. And yet it worked in our chronology that there was this specific feast falling on New Year's Day, which was the day 5 of the lunar feast, which would be the feast of the new moon, we believed. Anyway, let's see why we believe that. Oh, it was a feast of Ammon, a feast of Ammon. I think the feast of Ammon is the one that starts on Lunar Day 1, and that's why we thought that, or believe that, we still believe that. But I'm not sure. I'm never sure about anything, usually, which is a good way to be, I think, because it keeps you humble. But it could have been 5 days, of course, at the full moon, maybe the 5-day feast of the full moon, but no one considered that, I don't think. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be possible. And in fact, that's how I made a lot of progress. All the progress in the genealogy was made because I didn't rely on the expertise of the other scholars that presented their information. I had to go beyond what they did or find something different from what they saw in order to develop the proof of the genealogy, which because it was a different, of course, it was a different chronology from most other chronologies. I mean, in most sections of the chronology, it differs somehow by some amount over the period of the whole chronology from Adam all the way down. In fact, most chronologies don't even consider Adam as being a real person from the Bible because they reject the Bible. So in order to get the chronology from the Bible, we have to reject a lot of what they say because they are not even believers in the Bible. And they're, in other words, bad associates. You know, in that sense, they will lead us astray down some other pathway of human wisdom instead of the pathway of what is actually the case. But we had this short missing year number here. And if this is indeed the first 5 days of the lunar month, which we assumed it was, the short missing year number was important because that it was all connected with this year 25 of a king who, again, did not have a name given, but everybody agrees it was Mendez, apparently, anyway, including me. So when we take it as Mendez, then we know that, because we know what year that year 25 was of Mendez in the BCE, you know, calendar, the BCE years. So knowing when year 25 was, which is his year 1 was 1115, so year 25 would be 1090 or something like that, right? So that's why we got year 1 of Amenemniso in 1089. Because Mendez was given 26 years by Manetho. I mean, I guess we better show that. Because nobody remembers all this stuff, usually, unless they study it every day. Myself included. We've got to go down to find the Egyptological. There it is. Okay, that was 1819 now. 2021, Mendez, 26 years he was given, yeah, by Eusebius and by Africanus. So knowing that, and also there was a difference made here that the modern scholarship has established that Neferkeres, by the way, who is also known as Amenemnisu, in other words, he's the one called Amenemnisu. But there's another change made, and that is not only is his name changed, but the order of the kings here is changed so that Amenemnisu comes directly after Mendez. That's established by modern scholars. And maybe that was, in part at least, because of this banishment stela. It's hard to say why they established that, but I think it was probably more than that. But maybe they had another year number after this short year number that maybe they had more evidence that the king who came after the second king, so Mendez then the second king, and the king perhaps who came after the second king, they could prove was Susen the first. On the list, he's listed as Susen as the second king, but we're making him, along with the other scholars, as the third on the list. We've switched the places of Susen and Neferkeres, as the other scholars do, generally. So, the argument of Ms. Tetley also is that Amenemnisu, or Neferkaris, as he is also called, he succeeded Smendes directly and ruled 4 years. He was given 4 years by Meniso on both lists, both copies. Africanus on the left, Eusebius on the right. As we see from the top here, Africanus and Eusebius on the left and right, respectively. So with Amenemnisu ruling only 4 years, then there's only a 4 year time period during which the New Year's Day of the Egyptian calendar would have to fall on the fifth day of some feast. And that was the New Year's, or the New Moon feast, the Feast of the New Moon, and the New Year feast, because it was the fifth day of the lunar month fell on the New Year's Day of the Egyptian calendar, which was always Thoth 1, of course. It was the month Thoth, the first month of the season of inundation, which is called the season called, it was Akhet, the season Akhet, A-K-H-E-T. Akhet 1 was the first month of that season, and it was also called Thoth. Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, was the name of the first month. So this was New Year's Day, Thoth 1, for the Egyptians. And it fell exactly on the fifth day of this feast, which is just unbelievably good, or unreasonably coincidental, if it's by chance alone. But, you know, but we would have to know what year it occurred. And on the inscription, or in the inscription of, on the banishment stela, it didn't tell us what the year number was for this short reign. It was just a short place, a small place on the tablet where the year number actually evidently appeared. But the number was missing, but there was a small distance, a small place for it. So it must have been a short number, is what the experts reasoned. But we acknowledge, yeah, there are many other explanations, of course, that could explain all of this, but the simple explanation that we came up with was that it was May 18th, 1086 BCE, in which case Lunar Day 1 would fall on the day of the Egyptian calendar called Epagomenal 2, and there were five Epagomenal days before the new year. So 2 is the first one, that's Lunar Day 1, and Epagomenal 3, Epagomenal 4, Epagomenal 5, and then New Year's Day would be on the fifth day of that feast, which had begun on Epagomenal 2, Lunar Day 1. So that was a beautiful, just a brilliantly, there was no human brilliance involved. It was brilliantly done by the will of God that these documents, or these records, would come to light. We would see them. We would be able to align them with our chronology in some way like that, and have it meet all the requirements. That it was a low year number, because, of course, Amenemnisu only ruled for 4 years, first of all, and 1086 would be about year 4. Of course, he could have had a year 5 in terms of the beginning of year 5 and still only reigned 4 years. But 1086 with his year 1 in 1089, that's year 3 or year 4, isn't it? So, I mean, it's remarkable. And we don't have to have it be year 4. I think it can be a year 3 also. But it's, I mean, it would still satisfy all the requirements. So that was the lunar alignment that was particularly remarkable about chapter 9 and about the graph. Now, let's look at the graph. Now, the graph doesn't show any lunar alignments. It's a graph purely, that was graph from chapter 8. We had the graph from chapter 8. And in that time period, you see this here. Amenemhiso is mentioned here. He's let me blow it up. There we go. Zoom in. Amenemhiso Yeah, it takes a while to figure out what all the arrows mean here. Oh, I see. That arrow refers to all these kings. Ramesses the 4th, 9th, Amenemhiso, Sisan the 1st. They're all spanned within this range here, including the point up above the line, which I believe is possibly Ramesses, the one above the line. But let me think now. Let's see. No, because we charted. This is 1100, this division, and then there's 1000. 1090 is right in here, so that's the let me think for a second here. Amenemhiso. Okay, so we'll go back to the list of Manetho for a second. Amenemhiso is, of course, on the list here. He's called Neferkaris, but he's on the list of Dynasty 21. You know, we know that he's the right king because he comes in along with these other kings, and their names haven't been changed. So we know that this Neferkaris is the same person as Amenemhiso. At least, we certainly believe it anyway. But Eusebius, then the next, okay, we're looking down at the next dynasty. We go to 22. Okay, so the previous dynasty, Dynasty 20 then, is the one in which Manetho gives us no names of any of the kings, but it's Dynasty 20 in which the Ramesses 6 and 9 are ruling. In the graph from chapter 8, the B4 affirms carbon 14 kings graph, right? To go back to that. So, and Dynasty 20 preceded. So, you know, that was from 1000, 1100, 1200. Those kings ruled in about just after Ramesses III was 1223, so this is just under 1200, the time of Ramesses IV, and then Ramesses IX would be this other point here, more like about 1170 or so, or 1160. But the specific years for each of those kings in our chronology are given, and we've charted it according to our chronology, not according to Shaw's chronology. We've shown the actual dates. So Amenemope, we've shown, whereas it would have been 40 years or 36 years lower if we'd been giving the other chronology, of you know, the conventional chronology. So Amenemope here should be about 1090 for his year one, right? So that's where this radiocarbon point is shown, right about 1090. That's Amenemope, that blue one. Amenemhiso. Amenemope is a king who comes later on that list of Dynasty 21. Right here, he's called Amenophis. In fact, he comes just after Susen because we switched Amenemhiso. So it's Smendes, Amenemhiso, Susen, and then Amenemope in that order. See, the names have changed a little bit generally, but the Neferkaris name was changed completely to Neferkaris from Amenemhiso. Of course, usually all these names given are in the Greek, right? Whereas the original names were in Egyptian, so that's why the names can be different. But there's no problem. When we look at the graph, we're going to look at the chapter 9 graph in a moment. But we're just understanding this chapter 8 graph here. Amenemope was this other king whose date was later, as it would be coming after, around 1030, 1040, what is that? Here. We know Sunachi's with Simon. That's right, his name changed. And he was 1024 in our chronology, or 1025, year one. I'm trying to remember now, 1024, I think, year one. Right, and then we had 6 years, so 1030 would be year one of Osorkon the Elder, who's called Osakor, adding the 6 to the 1024, going backwards in the BCE years. So 1030, and then we add 9, we get 1039 for Amenemope. So that should be about 1039 on our graph. I keep showing the wrong graph. Here it is. So here it is, Amenemnisu. 1039 is where this Amenemope should be. Looks about right, 1039 with 1050 somewhere in there, right? So so that's Amenemope there, that square as shown by the arrow. But Amenemnisu would be this blue one as shown by the blue color coding in this set of points indicated by this sweeping bracketing arrow here that brackets these different kings together. And Susen the First was, of course, a king who... Oh, there. So this is Amenemnisu up here, maybe. This point up there. Because Susen the First preceded and he began to rule... Wait a minute. I'm thinking of Smendes. Let's go back. I'm confused now. Oh, he came after. Okay. Yeah, Susen came after Smendes. Okay. So Smendes in 1115 minus 26. 1115. Oh, but we have Neferkaris following Smendes. That's right. So Susen comes after Amenemnisu because we've switched them. That's right. I keep doing it again, showing the wrong graph each time. But we're going to that other graph in a moment, I hope, very soon. So Susen comes after Amenemnisu. So Amenemnisu is the blue one, and then you've got, or the shaded square. Then you've got the other final point, which is Susen the First, who's after Amenemnisu. And his radiocarbon is consistent, except that it's, of course, a bit of an outlier there. It goes above the graph. But, I mean, we've just shown it because we believe we know when he ruled. That's why we can put it in its place on the horizontal axis here. If we didn't have the actual time period, we couldn't chart or plot the point. If we didn't know, if he'd ruled, you know, 1,000 years earlier, then that point would be somewhere over here, you know, right? Way off the line. So knowing when he ruled, we can put the point on the graph and see that it's not quite on the line, but we know he didn't rule over further to the left where he would be on the line, or at least we believe we know when he ruled, and it was after Amenemnisu, who's the blue one, which is fairly close to the line. Anyway, the fact that these radiocarbon don't fall on the line doesn't mean much, because radiocarbon is not always accurate. It has contamination and all sorts of things that... Old wood, different things, newer contaminants, as well as old wood, that can shift it one way or the other. So... This was quite a great discovery that we found this lunar alignment for Amenemnisu. But on the other graph here, and now I've gone to the wrong one, this time the other direction, but this is the graph we want to look at here, which was showing that it's just enlarging the graph. So Amenemnisu is here on our graph, 1089, year one. That's where we put the radiocarbon point. But we had shifted it because all these points had to be shifted, and the correction was indicated by this pink downward arrow here. But it's the white areas that are the corrections. And the gray points are the points plotted according to the chronology of Shaw. So the gray ones were shifted and ended up being where the red ones are. I guess they'll be brighter or darker in color than the gray ones. And so 46 years was the biggest shift of any of the shifts that we did for these points, because Shaw's chronology differed by 46 years from ours for the year one of Amenemnisu. It was a 46-year difference for the chronology of Shaw from ours with regard to Amenemnisu. Then Ramesses II had a 36-year difference. That was shown by a shift or a white rectangle that was slightly narrower. Shift, and the points for Ramesses II were in green at their final destination after the correction that we made. And the amount of the correction is shown here by a little white arrow in each case, color-coded according to the colors of the points that are plotted for those pharaohs. So Ramesses II had a very long reign, so his points span a much longer time period on the horizontal axis because he ruled, let's see now, his rule, his year one is 1315, and he ruled until, well, that doesn't look correct, does it? What's going on there? 1200, 1315 to 1249, that should be the end of his reign. So what are all these points down here? That is, not quite understood by me at the moment. But anyway, this Akhenaten, we see his reign falls right in here. The shift for him was a much smaller shift, 20 years different from Shaw's chronology, and 14-year difference for Thutmose III. So that's the time period. I don't understand this. Hang on a second here. Why would these be for... Can't be right. They can't be all... Oh yeah, these are darker green, I think, yeah. These points here are not... I don't know what these points are. They look... Are they a darker green or not? No? No, they're not. Not necessarily. Yeah, I don't fully understand this. But that was Chapter 9. And the graph from Chapter 9... Oh, I want to know what this is doing here. Why are these points so much later than the reign of Ramesses II? If we shifted them into his time, they'd still fall on the curve, though. They'd still be very close to the curve within the error bars. It wouldn't matter. If these are just placed wrongly on the graph, then shifting them over. Yeah, I went down to, it looks like I went down to 1149. Instead of 1249, maybe all these points belong shifted left, but they'll still fall very close to this calibration line, because many of them were above the line anyway. So, yeah, it's not gonna cause any real trouble, whatever it is. Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm glad we saw that and noticed it. So now, that's pretty well it for today's study. Whoa, there's so many. It's hot in here. So many things that I'm learning. I just had a haircut. Something that I did myself using the You know those double mirrors, you can swing them? If you have a three-mirror cabinet in your bathroom and you have hinged doors on the cabinet that are mirrored doors and you can pull the mirrors at an angle, you can then look in and see the back of your head if you try hard enough. And you can then give yourself a haircut that way. And that's how I do it. I mean, there's other ways you could arrange mirrors, I think, to do that as well. But I'm continuing to get better at giving myself a haircut. I think over time I could do it more quickly as I get more and more practice at it. But I've been doing it for quite a few years. And I learned that from my Uncle Don. He always cut his own hair. And that was unbelievable because he was always so well groomed. So that inspired me that I could cut my own hair too. Now, I've been investigating tankless water heaters and the electric ones. And now I just also, something, the fridge just shut off, I guess. The basement humidity is now 44%, and I've got a little monitor. Maybe I can even drag it over and show you. As I shut off the system accidentally, it's a very sensitive thing. It shuts off for no reason. Every time I try to do something, here it is. Here, look. This is the little monitor for the basement dehumidifier. It's a commercial dehumidifier. But I paid a lot of money for it, it came with a little special, it's not wireless, but it's got a long enough wire that I can, it's got much more wire than this too, but I twist tied off the extra wire. But this is what it says, 44% relative humidity with 77 degree Fahrenheit temperature at the moment, with the compressor running, or the dehumidifier running at the moment. And I had to put, there's a lot more to explain about all that. But I'm also looking into tankless water heaters that are electric water heaters. Because, you know, if you have to install gas and propane and all, it becomes a lot more complex. But, you know, the electric can be more expensive and trickier. You have to have a big electrical panel to capacity and all that. You need a lot of power if it's electric to heat water for getting a shower. It's the shower that's the biggest challenge. But, I mean, it's expensive, too. Usually, it can be quite inexpensive if you do it right. But I don't even know that I want to do it, so I'm looking into it. August 28th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1941 hours Eastern Daylight Time in North America, and I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie saying bye for now. And that was 9-8, chapter 9, paragraph 8, Trojan War.